James chapter 4 as we continue in the study here. You know, we're taking a look at the context of this this book and these chapters, these verses, and, you know, essentially using them as an outline. And there's no better outlines than the outlines that are in the Scripture and the Word of God. Topical messages are good. And I had a brother that said one time, I want to talk to him about it one day. But he made this comment, and you kind of take a look at some of the preaching that is done, that we do have accounts of messages in the Scripture, and we can learn from them. But what this brother says is that a person, if all they get is topical preaching, they will starve to death. And I'm still studying on that. I don't know if that's completely true or not, but I think there may be something to it. See, we need to know what the content of the Scriptures are, because in the Scriptures, in the context of the Scriptures, you know, as we're taking a look at chapter 4, there's a major thought that's here and a direction that the apostle wants to take us, of course, through the inspiration of the Lord and what the Lord wants us to hear. But then there's subtopics that are scattered through there. And we can take that and use that as an outline and deal with those things, see the connections and see such as that. And reading about, you know, studying the Word of God, there's several ways that you can study. But when you study and when you read your Bible, and you're consuming your Bible, do you gather together things that become cross-references from one passage to another? You read a thing here in what you're reading today or this week, and you say, I remember about over here that it talked about something relative to that. You know, I've got a Thompson Chain reference Bible, and it's got cross-references in it. Some of them are good, and some of them don't. They don't cross, in my estimation, they don't. Well, what better thing than to make your own cross references? Amen? And you don't want to butcher your Bible. Some of you maybe haven't taken a look at my Bibles. You might think that I've butchered my Bible, but you don't want to butcher your Bible to where you can't use it. But making your own cross references in your Bible, and writing those notes in the margin and making those things, that helps you contain it. Writing a thing down helps you get a hold of it and hold on to it. And then if you're like me and you forget it and you go back, you can pick up on it again. But as you read and as you study the Scriptures, think about other things that you've heard about, other things that you've read, and put those things together. That's part of what meditating and part of what really understanding or concentrating. Our children in school, they have to not only learn how to read, but if their reading will do them no good if they don't gain comprehension, right? They've got to comprehend what they read. They've got to know what it means so they can then take it and use it. You and I have got to comprehend what the Scriptures are talking about. So reading is good, but reading without comprehension, it won't get you far. It won't get you far. You've got to slow down. We've got to slow down enough to understand what we're reading. And so there you go for what that's worth. Here in chapter 4, we'll take a look. Last time we took a look here in chapter 4, these wars, these fightings, they come upon us. Why? Because the lust of our flesh. We don't have our focus right. I'm thinking about me. I'm thinking about me and getting whatever me wants. And so what that'll do, that'll cause me to not pray right. I'll ask amiss. We took a look at prayer and how we need to fill up on the Word of God. We need to be more in tune with the Lord and be stirred up by His Spirit and His Word, that we might pray according to the will of God. It gets tough here. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, what about this friendship with the world? It's hatred with God. Look out for it. Don't be a friend of the world. Because if you're a friend of the world, verse 4, you're an enemy of God. Now, we should be a witness. We should be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We're to love our neighbor as ourselves. It's not talking about that, but it's talking about lapping up the way of the world, lapping up the thinking of the world, lapping up the course of the world. We do not need that. We need those things from the Lord. And then the Scripture. It says, in, does it say in vain? Verse 5, do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? You know about the works of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. You know what the Lord said, and we read it last time about what the Lord said there in Genesis about the reason for the flood. God got sick and tired of the thinking of man. And you know, we need to get a hold on that, that the Lord knows what we think. You know, when I take a notion to say some smart aleck thing or some foul thing about my brother and sister or about my neighbor or whatever, you know, before I've spoken it, the Lord knows I'm thinking it. We need to realize and we need to live and understand that as we live before God, the table of our heart and our soul is open and wide before Him. It's manifest before Him. And so just the junk of my mind, we talked about that on Wednesday night, about how it is in our heart. And the Lord dealt with Israel there about the elders and those things that were in their heart. Verse 6, but He giveth more grace. You know, the Lord's able to help us overcome what this flesh does to us and this warfare that we have. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. He likes to do that. He wants to do that. If we come to the Lord proud, the Scripture says that we can come boldly before the throne of grace. You know, that's not with our arms thrust back and all cocky and everything, saying, God, give me what I want now. You know, there's some that preach that way, don't they? They say, just, you know, get tough with God and get rough with God and claim what you've got coming. No, we need to understand who we're dealing with. He bids us come, but we need to come knowing His power, knowing His greatness, and that He has bid us come. And because we as children, we've been saved, we have been given the privilege to come. We have. We've been granted that. Ah, there it is again, with a gift. There's responsibility in there. So now we've been given the privilege to come. We are responsible to come. How can you live this life by yourself? We can't do it. We need His help, don't we? And we need to come to Him, thanking Him, praising Him, acknowledging Him, and coming with supplication, one for another and even for ourselves. We need the Lord to work. He says here, He resisteth the proud, giveth grace to the humble. Turn over here to Psalms 138. Let's take a look, and it seems that and this is a great thing, to take a look at the New Testament and those things, those thoughts, or those quotes of the Scripture, and go to the Old Testament and see what it is that's being referred to. Jesus used the Old Testament a lot to preach, didn't He? So did the apostles. They used the Old Testament Scriptures, and somebody's got a gripe and say, well, that's the Old Testament. We don't need that. My Lord and Savior used it to preach and teach. I think if it was important to Him, it sure ought to be important to me. Amen? Knowing about it, there's a lot of history there. There's poetry, as we say, that's there. All of it the Word of God. All of it there, an account of those things that the Lord wants us to know. Why? For our benefit, so we can know, so we can learn from the experience of others, so we can see the goodness of God and those things that the writers have told and written about Him. In Psalms 138, we take a look here and take a look at verse 6. Listen to how God is. Though the Lord be high, Psalms 138, verse 6, though the Lord be high, yet hath He respect unto the lowly. Isn't that good? Isn't it great that we didn't have to come and achieve a position on par with God before we would have audience with Him? You know, in the way in the world, the way the world works, it's got to be that way. Unless you're a somebody, you can't meet with so-and-so, a director of this company, a CEO of this company, have audience with this government official. It's not that way with the Lord. He has respect to the lowly. He, in His greatness, oh, those fruit of the Spirit that are manifested in Him. Though the Lord be high, yet hath He respect to the lowly. But the proud He knoweth afar off. Anybody that comes proud to the Lord, He stiff arms them. He holds them out there. You know why? Because the proud come and say, we don't need You. We don't need you, God. We don't need you, your word, your way. And maybe they might not be so bold to say it that way, but I was talking in our class this afternoon. It said in this day like this, well, you believe the way you believe, and I'll believe this. You've got your way of worship, and I've got mine. That's just a cloak. It's just a mask to say, and we don't want it God's way. They should not line up with it because we believe it, but they should line up with it because God says it. I mean, that's the reason that we have, amen? That's the reason that it should be. He knoweth the proud afar off. Oh, what a worse place to be than being far from the Lord, amen? We that have been saved, we that the Lord has saved, we like being up close, don't we? It's easy to get used to, isn't it? It's a real blessed place to be up close and near to the Lord. And humility needs to be there. You know, being humble doesn't mean that we just let everything roll over top of us. It doesn't mean that. Just like meekness doesn't mean being weak, but that we submit to the Lord, and we're going to see that over there in James further on. Back in James, here we take a look at this here further. He giveth more grace. And that's what we need. We need grace to deal with this old flesh and grace to deal with the trials of this life. We need the Lord working in us. And see, this humility that he gives us and that we can have, he tells us about it here in the coming verses. First, let's take a look again also at 1 Peter chapter 5 real quick. Take a look over here. This is going to tell and come in line with the coming verses. 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5. Let's just go ahead and back up to verse number 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am an elder, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. He says, elders, feed the flock of God which is among you. And that's my job as a pastor, to feed the flock. You know, some of you I've asked, am I feeding you? I want to feed you. I really, really do. I want to feed you. I want to feed you well. I want to give you the word of God. I want to remind you about what God says. I want to show you some things. Not that I be the new revelator to Olmsted Baptist Church. That's not the point. But I want us just to see together those things that are contained in the Scripture. He reveals. There's the Word of God never changes, and it's always been there. But you and I, we haven't seen it all yet. That's the thing. It's there. It's nothing new that I would bring. If I ever tell you that I bring something new, then look out. Myself or any other minister or preacher or pastor. It's not about something new, but something that we haven't seen. Something that's good that's there and that the Lord has for us. And if we avail ourselves to the study of the Word of God, He will reveal those things to us. He's given us a promise that He will. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. That's what I want to be. I need to be an example of those things that I preach and the Word of God says. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Here you go, submission. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. And that's the way it works in the government of the church. We, being enjoined, being called by the Lord, being set by the Lord in His church, we submit to be subject one to another in the church, in the government of the church. There's no big I's and little U's in the Lord's church. Amen. We are members. In particular, fitly joined together by the Lord. We're supposed to be nourishing one another. We're supposed to be encouraging and admonishing one another. We're to be provoking one another to good things, right? Good works. Not divisiveness, not fiefdoms within the church or schisms or divisions within the church. We're to be unified together around Christ. In His Word and what He says. That's what we need to do. And in coming together and being together, we submit one to another in that. Younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. There is an element there that it is so, that those that are younger and those that are young in the faith, those that are young in age that are amongst, they should submit themselves. It's a great and terrible thing that's happened in our nation about the demise of the respect of authority.
Amen.
Hear that? The death of the respect of authority.
Right.
You know, if my children get out of line, I want you to tell them that they need to get in line. I want you to. Because I want them to do right. And my eyes can't be everywhere all at the same time. We ought to have that kind of closeness that we ought to be able to get on one another's children when they get out of line. Because what is it? Do we want our children to be disobedient? Do we want them pursuing after things that are not right? No. We want them to pursue after good things, have the blessing of obedience before the Lord. And so there it is. The younger, they submit to the older as they learn. We're all teaching. I've told about these new members that we have in the church. All of us are teaching them something. Are we teaching them something that's good? There's that thing that happens. They're looking on. The newer members, the younger members, those that have just been recently saved, they're looking on to learn about the operation and the work in the church. Brother Joshua and Sister Carrie, I'll pick on them for a little bit. This thing about the church, the Lord's church, and believing and pursuing as we do here at Olmsted Baptist Church, it's a new thing to them. They're learning about that. And if I understand them right, they're enjoying it. They're enjoying it. Brother Doug, Sister Patty, they've been around it for years and years and years, but now they've got life, right? They've got life, and now they see it as they've never seen it before. Mm-hmm. And they're learning. They're learning. Brother Chad and Sister Micah, there's some things about us that they've not seen before. I'm going to pick on all of them. I'm not going to let anybody out. There's some things that they've seen and that they've not seen before. And being in churches and that, and it's a help. It's been a help and a blessing to them. That's not to brag on us. It's the goodness of the Lord upon us all, isn't it? Amen, it is. And so the younger are looking on. The newer are looking on. And so we need to be, and we're giving out a witness. All of us are doing it. Is it a good one or is it a bad one? It's happening right there. Submit, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the elder, verse 5. Yea, all of you, be subject one to the other, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. There it is. Peter is referring to what we read or something akin to it over there in Psalms 138. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Isn't that interesting that he says it that way? Humble yourselves, bow yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Be subject to it. Say, yes, Lord. What do you want, Lord? How do you want me to be in that, Lord? Lord, they didn't do me good. They did me wrong, Lord. How do you want me to be in it? How should I represent you? Lord, you want me to talk to them? I'm afraid to talk to them. Lord, help me that I would talk to them and tell them the truth. Whatever it is, that we humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. He's great, isn't he?
Amen.
He's got everything we need and more, doesn't he? And will he be stingy with it? Never. Never. Isn't God made out by the world to be an old stingy ogre? But he's not. He's not. He says, I've got blessings that you hadn't got enough cups to hold. Amen? You hadn't got enough buckets to hold it. If we'll just submit. The universal thing. You know, you that are here tonight and not saved, that's what you need to do. You need to humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God. You're guilty. You're a sinner. You're on your way to hell. And you need the Savior.
That's right.
Amen. And you say, yes, Lord. I'm wrong. I'm guilty. And you're right. Show pity, Lord, to me. Show pity to me. But see, the pride that's in us naturally says, well, I can't admit to everybody that I need it. I can't admit to everybody that I'm a sinner. I can't give up this or give up that or give up the other. That's pride coming in there. That's covetousness coming in there. That's what we want rather than submitting to what God says is true. What God says is eternal, isn't it? It's what it is. Humble yourselves, therefore, verse 6, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. We saw in that study about the Lord's Supper how the disciples, right there after the Lord has eaten the Passover with them, and right there after he's instituted the Lord's Supper, right, they're fussing about who's going to be the greatest. I'm top dog around here, fellas. You guys might as well get used to it. That's what they're doing. And the Lord says it's the way it works in the world. It will not be that way amongst you. It will not be that way. And the Lord says, haven't I called you? Haven't I chosen you? Haven't I called you to follow me? Haven't I made it? And then he opens this up to them. Haven't I made it that you will sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel? Is that some pretty good exaltation for some Galilee, Sea of Galilee fishermen, tax collector, and other vocations? There was no PhDs amongst them, was there? But the Lord's going to make them to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. Whoa. 12 thrones, he said. Yeah. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him. How do you do that? How do you cast your care on the Lord? How do you get it and throw it up there on him? How do you cast your care upon the Lord? You tell him about it. You're afraid? You tell him about it. Amen. You're happy and rejoicing? You tell him about it. He opens up the scripture to you and it just slays you. You tell him about it. You thank him. Amen. You praise him. You ask him for help. You thank him when he does. Amen. You cast all your care upon him. When you're facing that impossible thing, when you don't understand, when you've read that passage and read that passage and read that, Lord, I just don't know what that means. Will you help me? Will you show it to me? Will you reveal it unto me? Casting most of your care upon him. Is that what it says? No, it says all. Lord, I'm in trouble. Lord, I'm in trouble and I've sinned. Help me. Lord, be merciful to me. Lord, forgive me. Casting all your care upon him. Lord, I got this problem with my child. Lord, I got this problem in my home. Lord, I've got this problem with my work. Lord, my business has got problems or issues. Lord, I've got employee problems. Lord, I've got boss problems. Lord, I've got problems with my brother and sister in the church. Lord, I've got family problems. I don't know how to talk to my family about you. They reject it. They reject it. Casting all your care upon him. See, when we admit to God and we go to the Lord where we seriously, seriously show and admit that we need him, that's humility. That's humility that we need him to work. Casting all your care upon him, because praise God for the next part, for he careth for you. Oh my, he cares so much. How much he cares. Back in James. James speaks to the same things here. Submit yourselves in verse 7. He tells there in verse 6, he giveth grace to the humble. That's the introduction to these coming verses. How to be humble. You can put that title right there, verses 7 through 10. Okay, you ready? Submit yourselves therefore to God. Lord, what do you want today? Lord, how do you want to be it? How do you want it to be? You got a plan. You've got a thing. You're running short on time. Car breaks down, get a flat, traffic's bad. Are you pitching a fit and yelling and screaming and throwing the songbook? Well, Lord, thank you for the trouble that you kept us out of. That's what I've tried to do. When it's not going right, when we're going late, when things are out of whack, things are not according to the plan. That's what I try to do, Lord. Thank you for whatever it is that you're doing for us. Thank you. Thank you. Submit yourselves to God. Do we not pray for the Lord to help us? And we pray for the Lord to lead us and the Lord to guide us and direct us? But then when he takes something and he turns it around a little bit or changes it or whatever, and then we pitch a fit. Oops. Well, I do that. I know you don't do that. But then we rant and rave and scream and carry on. Then we get up a little bit further up the road. This has happened to us more than once. And there's the lights. There's the lights flashing and cars and trucks scattered all over the highway. There's a fella years ago on a holiday, and so there was little traffic on the road. That's the point about that. And he was driving on a piece of road just down from where my mom and dad live, and it's there on the Ohio River Valley, and it's right up a sheer wall bluff that's there that they had to blast away just to fit the road in. It's right up against the river. It's just the road and the river. There on the opposite side of Kentucky in Ohio. And as that man was driving that day on that road, a rock from on top of that bluff went blunk, 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 and killed him. As he was driving down the road, 50, 55, 60 miles an hour. Isn't that something? I mean, didn't land on his hood, didn't land on the trunk. Landed on the car. Now that's the way he went out of this world. But then we pray for the Lord to help us, protect us, and watch care over us and all that. And then when something changes, we're delayed a little bit, something's going on. Somebody's doing their hair that should have already had their hair done, and we carry on, rant and rave. Somebody forgot something, get in the car, get in the van, and say, I forgot this! Okay, go get it. And listen, that's not an excuse not to have your act together. Amen. I will qualify that, okay? Yeah. But the thing is when it gets changed according to our plan, are we really submitting to the Lord and asking and really believing that He will take care of us? But He does. He does. And in other ways, that's just an easy way to describe it. Submit yourselves therefore to God. God says it, we need to believe it and do it. That's what submission is. It's preached so much and by some, and I even mentioned some of it this morning in the scriptures about a woman, a wife, she needs to submit to her husband. She needs to submit, submit, submit. You know what, men? We need to submit to Christ. Yeah. Yeah, we need to submit to Christ 24/7. Yeah, amen. We've got a boss too. Amen. Yeah, and the Lord, we need to be seeking His face. We've got a greater responsibility on us because, after all, the only ones following us are our families. That's all. It's our wife and our children. Submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. You know what it says next? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Put up that fight against Satan. Listen, you and I, we can't fight Satan. We can't fight him. He's more experienced than us. He's more powerful than us. All we can do is resist him and block the darts. Amen? If we're equipped so. That's a message for another time about the armor of God. We need to put all that armor of God. What's it say? Put on the armor of God and having done all to move forward. And I understand in the Christian life, we need to be moving forward. But that passage there says, hold your ground. Having done all, stand. 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 We need to stand in the Word of God, not stand for the Word of God. We need to stand in the Word of God. We need to be immersed in the Word of God, not just stand for it, as in, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. We need to stand in the Word of God, folks. We need to be upheld by the Word of God. We need to be strengthened by the Word of God. We need to be filled by the Word of God, not just stand for it. Because if you stand for it, maybe you might not, when you get pressured, you might not stand for it sometimes. We need to stand in it. We need to stand in it. Resist the devil. Resist the devil. Satan's devices, there are many. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Take a look over here. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We don't need to go learn about his devices. We don't need to learn about them and learn about it. I heard about, and you've maybe known of some, that heard about a man that he became so very concerned about pornography, and he was a pastor of a church. And so he wanted to just make a great, bold message and try to make an impact about the badness of pornography. And so what he did is he started studying about pornography and the origins of it and the volume of it that's done, the amount of business that there is in it and all that. And he studied and studied, and he was consumed by it. It took him down. We don't need to go learn about Satan's ways.
Amen.
But we need to understand that they're out there. We need to understand that they are there. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. He's dealing with them about why he's writing this letter to him and his authority and that. He's talking about the man that they had to put out because of his wickedness. Okay? In verse 10, to whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. The man was restored, and that's what they should have sought to do. And he said, if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, verse 10, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Otherwise, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Satan will work. Satan will work. Satan, he promotes this sin, that sin. He promotes this wrong attitude, that wrong attitude. And what you and I need to do is we need to resist him. How are we going to resist him? How can we resist Satan and his devices? How can we resist the advertisement of Satan? How can we resist those that we may be even around that are not saved and that Satan is able to work in them? It's the case. It's what the Word of God says. He can work in them. He can work in them to work on us. It can happen. I think the Scripture backs that up. Well, the only way that we can stand, the only thing that we can resist is how did Jesus do it? With the Word of God. Satan came and tempted him. He says, make the stones bread. No. Man shall not live by bread alone. How did he do it? With the Word of God. He says, cast yourself off the pinnacle of the temple. He said, no, you're not supposed to tempt the Lord. Life is in his hands. We're not to tempt him. He took the Word of God, Satan did, and said, well, the angels will cast you. Right? Isn't that what the Scripture says, Jesus? Lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. He says, no, don't tempt the Lord thy God. And then he said, well, if you'll just bow down and worship me. Notice how they got easier. You ever notice that? Turn the stones into bread. That would be a miracle. Just fall off the pinnacle of the temple. And then it was just bow down here on the ground. And he upped the ante every time. He says, all the kingdoms of the world, I give them all to you. If you'll just bow down and worship me. And the Lord said, thou shalt serve the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He's the one that worship is due. How was it that the Lord withstood and resisted the devil? With the Word of God. That's the only way that you and I will. And you know, and by doing and resisting Satan and his onslaught with the Word of God, you know what we're doing? We're submitting to the Lord at the same time, aren't we? Because God says this. God says that. And we admit and acknowledge before Satan and before the world that that's where the power is. It's in what God says, isn't it? Working in us. Resist the devil. Don't be ignorant. We should not be ignorant of his devices. He'll come at us many ways. Back in James chapter 4. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. And what's the promise there? I've encouraged a Sunday school class here a while back to think about promises. Resist the devil. And what's it say? He'll take off running. We don't have to worry about fighting him. We don't have to worry about running him off. The Word of God and the truth of God's Word, he'll go ahead and run off himself. He'll go look for another target, won't he? Because see, remember, Satan is not omnipresent. Remember that. He's fast. He's fast. He's fast like an angel. But he can't be working on all of us at the same time. Now, he has his minions, he has his demons. But Satan is subject to the Lord. He's some of his creation. He's not the on par, equal adversary of God. He's been given his time, and the Lord's going to bring him to his end. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What's it say in verse 8? Draw nigh to God. We don't use that word nigh, do we? What's it mean? Get up there close. Get up there close to him. Get up there close to God. Don't take the position that the world takes about how far I can get away from God and it still be okay. May God help us to see that that's a losing proposition. May the Lord help us to see that. Draw nigh to God. And what's the promise again? You want to get close to the Lord? You desire that in your heart? You desire in your heart to seek His face? You want to know more about Him? What will He do? He'll draw nigh to you. He'll draw nigh to you. He'll comfort you. He'll help you. He'll open your eyes that you might see. Talking about as a child of God. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. What's that talking about? It's talking about repentance, isn't it? Father, I'm guilty against you and sin in this way. Forgive me and help me to put it behind me. To not go that way anymore. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Because that's what we are, aren't we? We're saved sinners. Saved sinners is all that we are, and it is a blessed thing. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. What's it say there? And purify hearts, ye double-minded. He goes back to that double-minded thing, doesn't he? Chapter 1, verse 8. What's it say there? He says here, ask in faith. Don't think that if you don't ask in faith that you'll receive anything of the Lord, right? What's it say there? Verse 5. But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. You know what? I've told you several times about how in my work, and the Lord convicted me of this, that in my work I would run into situations that I just didn't know how to take care of them. And in life, it's been the case too. Run into a situation, have a situation at hand, and I just did not know what to do. I didn't know. And so I would pray, Lord, help me. I don't know what to do here. I pray that you would help me to do this. And you know what? You know what I did? I didn't sit down. But I kept my eyes open for anything that might be the answer to what needs to be done. I continued to do what I knew to do. And you know what? It would be that way in an instant. The Lord would give it to me, what to do. He would do that. He would reveal it. Because see, and this isn't to brag on me, it's bragging on the Lord, because the Lord convicted me about this, that this is the way that it really and truly is and works. That His promise that He's made here, He'll make true. You lack wisdom? Ask Him. And then be looking for it to come. Here? Be looking for it to come. Well, I don't know what to do. And plop down. Huh? Is that believing that the Lord's going to work? Is that believing that the answer's going to come? Is that believing that God heard me in the first place? No. Not if I just lay down. We go and we witness to folks, and you know what? Those of them that are not saved are deader than a doornail. They're dead. Are they not? Isn't that what the Scripture tells us? But do we have faith and confidence that in carrying the gospel and the message about Jesus Christ to them, that the Lord will take that and prick them and touch them and change them and save them? Amen. Amen. We better. We better. What else do we have to do? It's what the Lord's bid us do. A double-minded man. Well, I'm going to ask. Nothing happens. Well, I knew that wouldn't work. May God help us. May God help us to see it. Back in chapter 4, draw nigh to God, verse 8, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Repent up and get right with the Lord and stay right. Purify your hearts. Get it down there where you think and down there where the seat of the emotion is, down there where your soul is. Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood? How is it with you and me? Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Have faith in the Lord that he will answer. Next time we'll go on with verse 9. How to be humble. Right there it is. You know what? And this is my position and thought. Don't pray for humility. Don't pray for humility. But pray the Lord for strength and help. And then pursue what he says to do. Here's the instruction about it. It's not vague. It's not unclear. It's very clear. And that's what he says. Submit. Look at the verbs. Submit. Resist. Draw. Cleanse. Purify. And then we're going to go on to the next stuff. The next verse next time.